Welcome to you all
to our Sunday feast.
So today I've been given the opportunity, a great honor of giving the Bhagavad Gita lecture. So today I had selected one verse from the fourth chapter. And here Krishna, he speaks about the concept of guru. What is a guru, and what do we need to know about gurus? So Krishna, he will explain a little bit to us. So just take out the verse. This is verse 34 in the fourth chapter. Tadvidi panipatena parikrasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina tatpradarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, 19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him. In submission and service, and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when a student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So the verse once again. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadashinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gnanana Salakya Chakshuram Yetum Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So that throughout the ages, throughout the times, there have been many gurus on this planet. And some of them who have taught spiritual principles, as we know, we have Buddha, he came, and Jesus was also teaching as a guru the spiritual principles, and Muhammad, the prophet. So they all, one thing they had in common is that they had disciples. They imparted knowledge to the disciple, and the purpose was that this knowledge, the purpose was from this knowledge to be spread further on. It was not just to be kept with the immediate disciple. There was a purpose. And this is because the source of the knowledge is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the same for all religions. And that's simply the difference is that the different religions call him by different names. But the same source of the knowledge, of the spiritual knowledge, is there, and that source is Krishna. So, but now, in day of today, the word guru is used, you can say, a little bit easily or freely. Like we may read the newspaper, and we may come across such a thing as, oh, he's an IT guru, or he's a financial guru. And this one, he's a love guru. I don't know if you go to the news, but there's the West Wing movie. It's called The Love Guru. I wish it was a comedy about the concept. So one guru was like that, a love guru, like in relations. So we can say not everything of these subjects which are being taught today by so-called gurus is not of equal importance. So we'll look at the meaning. What does it mean, the word itself, guru? Like essentially, it means a teacher. And also, the meaning of it, guru, is heavy. It literally means heavy. There's two words which are opposite in Sanskrit. There's lagu, which is light, and guru, which is heavy. So a guru, a teacher, he has to be heavy. He has to have that ability. Otherwise, the disciple may not learn fully. He may take it easily, he may be laid back, and not get the benefits. So a guru is very serious, he's very grave. So that's why we also, the meaning of the word is heavy. Guru is heavy. And it's also, he has to be very serious because he takes upon himself a very great responsibility. And the true meaning of guru, he imparts spiritual knowledge. And when this is there, because when a disciple approaches a spiritual master, then if he accepts him as a guru, then the guru is responsible for getting him back to the spiritual world, back to full Krishna consciousness. So that is a very heavy responsibility. So this is not something cheap, it is not something light. Therefore, the guru needs to be very qualified. So we look at, try to also discuss a little bit. There are different types of gurus. Does anybody know what the different types of gurus are there mentioned in the Shastras, like we study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam?
Shishaguru and Disha.
Yes, that's two of them. Padma, Padasaka, yes, that's the third. Chaita Guru, yeah. Lord in the heart. Krishna within the heart, yes. That's four different kinds of gurus. There's also one more, at least what I had taken note of. There's Adi Guru. mother or father, they also do. They also have the responsibility to impart spiritual knowledge to their son or daughter. So,
yes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that you should take this process of Krishna consciousness and become a guru and liberate everyone in the land.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
In one sense, you can say that everyone who takes these instructions seriously is a guru in one way or the other.
Yeah, if they give it on, they're shiksha guru. They become shiksha gurus.
Right.
And so we'll see what is the relationship between these different kinds of gurus. So a little bit about the meaning of it. Like as we just said, Adiguru, that means mother and father. Now shiksha guru, shiksha means instruction. So here's a guru who gives you instruction. He tells you about Krishna, he tells you about the process of spiritual life. How do you get to know Krishna? This is a shiksha guru. And then we have diksha guru, or it's called mantra guru. A mantra guru, because he gives you the mantra. Like in this line of discipleship session, we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is given in diksha. The spiritual master, he gives you the mantra to chant. Now you please chant this mantra. That means that he authorizes your chanting. It becomes you sort of written in Krishna's books. He is now connected to the line of disciple succession. So when a person accepts diksha like that, he accepts responsibility, and he also gets blessings. He gets blessings from the guru and gets the power to chant dedicated. So that was diksha. And then Vatma Padasaka. And again, this is a little long for Vatma Padasaka Guru. And that means introducing guru. Somebody introduces you. Like we're all here today because somebody at first told us about Krishna consciousness. So that very first person who gives you a contact with Krishna, knowledge about Krishna, he's called that, Vatma Padasaka Guru. And then of course we mentioned Chaitya Guru, and Krishna himself, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Svasacharaham Ridisannivistu, I'm seated in the heart of all living beings. So Krishna is in the heart of all of us, and from in there he gives instructions, like in the form of good conscience or a guilty conscience. We can feel whether Krishna is satisfied within the heart. So we'll look at a little bit what's actually going on in the Bhagavad Gita. And at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we get to see Arjuna. He's very much confused and unhappy because he has to face, he's facing his relatives on a battlefield, and he has to kill many of his relatives. So he's in a very much distress, and in that distressed condition he says the following: Kapanya doso pahata svabhava pichamitam dharma samuddhacheta yatreyasham nityasam bruhitam me sishastiham sarimam tam papannam. Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of my silly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you for certain, to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Kindly instruct me. So Arjuna, he accepts Krishna as his spiritual master. He's totally out of himself. You can imagine he's never been more distressed at any time in his life than this. So he doesn't know what to do. He don't know what, whether to fight or not to fight. It's just, his mind is just in havoc. And so, in that state, he's asking Krishna, please, now I'm your disciple, please instruct me, I don't know what to do. So you can say, which kind of spiritual master does Krishna become here? He gives him the good instruction. He becomes his shiksha, shiksha guru. And Krishna, he is actually the original spiritual master. He is the source of transcendental knowledge. And he is also the one person who maintains the transcendental knowledge throughout the time. There is also one interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita asked what can happen to this transcendental knowledge, like this chain of disciplic succession. And unfortunately, it is so that if it is not properly followed, if the disciple is not properly following the guru, then the disciplic succession may be broken. And so that's why Krishna says, actually, this disciplic succession is now broken. So that's why I've come here. And my purpose is to reintroduce this spiritual knowledge in human society, and I've chosen you to be the recipient. So you will get this knowledge, and you please take advantage of it, and you give it to others. So because Krishna did this 5,000 years ago, we are sitting here now, getting the same thing that Krishna spoke to Arjuna. It has just descended to us in line of disciplic succession. So that's how we can take advantage now. So then I thought to speak a little bit about qualification of a guru. Who can be a guru? Who is a guru? Is there any suggestions? Who is qualified to be a guru? Exactly, that's actually the first verse which came to my mind also. And this is a verse, this is taken from the Nectar of Instruction, written by Rupa Goswami, and it goes Vachu Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam Etan Vegam Yo Vishaheta Dira Sarvam Apimam Vatim Sasishyat. And this means, a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So we all have experience, or we can think about how it is actually to be pulled about by different desires, different impulses of the senses. Get this, do that, you know, eat this ice cream, this nice soft ice. Like, we get impulses from this world, we take in, we have, we make contact with the different enjoyable things of this world through our senses, then we drag towards them, we want to enjoy. So, this enjoyment might actually not always be good for us. Like, we see some people there, like addicted to enjoy their senses in such a way that it's bad for them. Somebody may be addicted to drugs. Somebody may be addicted to sex life in various forms, which is not accepted in a spiritual sense. So such a person, which is maybe under the control of his senses, he cannot become a spiritual master. That is a disqualification. The qualification is that one has to control. One has to be able to resist when the urge is there. The senses say, do this, do that. We have to be able to think, well, is it good or not? If it is good, if it is good for ourselves as soul, to understand that we are soul, then we may act. We may act upon the impulse. But if it is not good, the spiritual master, he will say, no. No, I don't want to do that or this, because it's not good for me. This will just cover my consciousness, and I will lose my spiritual touch. So like that, he's able to control himself. And so just one story of how we have to see who is actually qualified in that regard. And there was this one incident. There was one very popular guru. He was giving lectures. You have to control yourself. Or you have to become steady. You know, you cannot be so attached to this world. Then you will never have any peace of mind. Your life will be, you'll be in distress. So there was one follower, and he came to his home, and then he saw this refrigerator. He opened up and he looked. What was there? There was all like untouchable substances like meat, fish and eggs. And this guru, he just was saying, you don't take this. Don't eat this meat, fish and eggs, because that will drag your conscience down, and it is actually violence to eat these things. It means committing violence to other living entities. So then he asked the follower, he asked this guru, why is this? You're saying, like, don't take meat, fish or eggs, but when I see your refrigerator, you have all these things. So how is this? Then he said, well, this is my private life. And what I teach, you know, that's my profession, that's my job. So you can't really criticize. So there's a real bona fide guru. Actually, there's no difference between his private life and that which he teaches. Please switch it off or you can go outside and have a conversation. Thank you. So there's no private life. A true guru, he doesn't preach one thing and do another. So there has to be no difference. No, there can be no difference between what he says and what he does. So that's the qualification. That one can test. If one wants to take some help from an advanced spiritual person, then one can actually see this. Well, does he actually do what he says? Or is it simply does he simply speak it and then do something else? So that actually we have to do, because there are many who say something and they do quite the opposite. This they impose themselves as gurus. So there's also one other very sobering instruction of the Shastras, because many of us, we are already gurus. We already have the responsibility. In family life, one gets children, and actually one is responsible for these children to act for their welfare. So there is one very sobering verse in the scripture about this, the responsibility of being a parent. And it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in the 5th canto, chapter 5, verse 18. Guru na sashat, svadano na sashat, pita sashat janani na sashat, devam na tachana patistasan, namo chadya samupetamichyam. And this means, one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So it's not only a spiritual master who has great responsibility, it's also us, like who are mothers and fathers. There's a responsibility on our shoulders for our children. So we can all become qualified in that sense by simply ourselves following a spiritual master. Anyone who has a responsibility, they have to take guidance from a learned person in order to learn nicely how to carry out that responsibility. So there is actually no reason to worry. One can be a very nice father and a very nice mother, provided one has nice guidance. Like one had a nice mother, a nice father who taught the important spiritual lessons of life, which Krishna he teaches Arjuna. So, and if that is there, then the children, they will come out, you can say, happy in this life, and they will have the ability to transcend, to go after death back to Krishna, out of the cycle of birth and death. So then we spoke a little bit about the qualification of the guru. So now we'll try to go into the qualification of the disciple. So then I would also like to ask, what's the qualification of a disciple? Who is a bona fide disciple? Yes, Mata?
Who follows the instructions of the guru and also of the scriptures?
Yes, he has to, as it says in the inquire from him submissively, render service to the guru. Yes, so one has to follow. He will give some instructions, tell you, please do this, please do that. And then of course one has to follow, otherwise what's the meaning of taking a guru? If he says something, we do another. Yes, so one has to follow. So there is one very, we can say, we just see what's the condition now in this day and age. The problem is actually that now everybody wants to be a guru. Like nobody wants to be a disciple, actually. Fine. Like everybody basically is trying to tell everybody else what they should do or what they should not do. And because this is there, then actually we have a very fitting name for this age in the scripture. It's called the Kali Yuga. And that means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Because nobody wants to be submissive and serve, we all want to be boss. So that leads to the fighting. Yes. So we also, because there are in the scripture, they speak about the different kinds of disciples, the different kind of followers are there. So we can take, what kind of disciples should we be if we get the spiritual master? How should we, you know, act in our relationship to him? And this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Puru speaking to his father Yayati, and he says, a son who acts, and son, and this is the same, actually has the same role as a disciple, because he has Adiguru, so he is also a son, is also a disciple. So he says, a son who acts by anticipating what his father wants him to do is first class. One who acts upon receiving his father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's order irreverently is third class. But a son who refuses his father's order is like his father's stool. So, these different types of behavior you can see, we can observe. And I should tell you a little bit of the background of this verse, why is he saying this? And it was that King Yayati, he is a famous king in the Vedic times, a long gone age. He had a wife by the name Devayani, and he had an affair with another woman who was her maidservant in the palace. And so Devayani, she became extremely upset about it. And her father, Sukracharya, he cursed King Yayati. He said that now you become disfigured by old age, to give you a lesson. So the king, he felt himself distressed at this, because if I lose my youth now, I have not satisfied my desires. I have these burning desires in my heart to enjoy this family life, to enjoy my situation. So if I get old age now, what will be my condition? So he goes to Sukracharya, father of Devayani, and explains this to him. Well, how will your daughter, what will become of your daughter if I become old and invalid? Who will take care of your daughter? So he says, okay, well, for my daughter's interest, I better somehow amend the situation. So he says, well, you can exchange your old age if somebody gives you their youth. So with this, okay, he goes to his sons. And he has five sons. The first one is Yadu, King Yadu, who became the king of the Yadu dynasty. And then there's Turvasu, Druyu, Anu, and Puru. So he asked Yadu, and he says, please, my dear son, will you give me your youth in exchange for my old age? And then he says, well, I have actually this doubt. If I give up my youth now, then I will not be able to enjoy family life as such. And it said, for one who has not enjoyed family life, how can he renounce? How will I be able to renounce it? So on this ground, he says, my dear father, no, I think I cannot accept your request. And then there is the three other sons, which were approached with the same question, and they said, no, they just flat out, they said, no way, you know, this we cannot accept. This is actually the joy of life, to be young, to enjoy. Now that's the purpose, you know, we can't give this up, we're sorry. So then he went to his youngest son, Puru, and he said, yes, I'll do it. And then he gave his verse explaining of the different types of son or disciple that can be there. So we should be ready to follow. If we accept the Guru, and we already actually have enough father and mother, so we should have the mentality, we should obey them. Like that's the lesson to be taken, to be implemented. And you can say that, let's say that we are not feeling ourselves ready to be a disciple, to accept such a responsibility, because being a disciple, it means that there's something we should do and there's something we should not. So if we are not feeling ourselves up to the task of being a proper disciple, then there is a different approach to it. Instead of accepting a formal initiation, then one can gradually approach the point of becoming qualified to be a proper disciple, to a proper guru. That is, one can have a shiksha relationship with a guru. That means that you simply take instructions, but it's not a rubber stamped, you can say, agreement between yourself and him that you'll eternally follow these vows. So a shiksha guru is actually the way to get one's self acquainted with spiritual life in a gradual way. So that's why it is advisable, basically, you should take instruction, you should take shiksha guru, and then after the shiksha has been heard, after the instruction you've heard it makes sense, it is something that you feel you can commit yourself to, then you may take a vow, then you may take some form of responsibility. But don't do it before. So, lastly, I thought to ask the question. Now, what is the necessity? What is the necessity of these gurus in the present day and age? What do you think? Is there a great need for gurus today, or is it like, are we doing all right? Do we need lessons? Yes.
We do need the right and true guru, who is selfless and who knows what to do, because in this particular age of Kali Yuga, or the industrialist industries, so we are just taking all the advantages of the planet, using it more than we can use it, because we don't have proper instructions from a proper teacher what we should do and what we should not do. That's why in this particular age we need a guru, but a spiritual guru, not an IT guru or a auto guru or something. No, a spiritual, in the true sense, yes, we do need.
Yes. And the point, the main thing is that most of us, the problem is that the senses are not controlled. We are grabbing madly, you can say, after the resources of this world. So this grabbing tendency, that has to be rectified. Otherwise, now we see where it's going. Like we have the UN climate, UN panel on the climate change. They say we'll have to do some changes in our lives now. Otherwise, with the global warming, if it goes on, then there will not be any planet to live on. So basically, because we have become too much greedy, then the greed is, as there was one wise Indian chief, he said about the, especially about the white man, he said, the greed of the white man will devour the earth. And now it's not only white men, it's Chinese, it's Indian, it's all over. This greed, it has transplanted from the West, from Europe, you can say, to all over the world. Let us just get the most out of our senses to enjoy this world in a material way. So this gives a whole lot of problems. So yes, the need is there. And we can just look a little bit deeper into it. And just take one thing which I'd caught note of. I looked, what is the condition actually? Like in a local Denmark. And some statistics, like 1 out of 4 children, they are have divorced parents. And the recent statistics about consumption of, it's happiness pills. There's a pill called Lykkepiller. Pill which will give you, so which is supposed to give you happiness. So in Denmark now there are 400,000 Danes which take this on a regular basis, to face the day. So looking a little bit deeper into it, that we can see that we have become accustomed to a destructive way of life, causing pain to ourselves and causing pain to others. And when we don't live properly, when we do, transgress the laws of nature, of compassion and humility, then Krishna, as Chaita Guru, he's sitting in the heart and he basically frowns at us. We get the guilty conscience. Like you may have in the heart something, this is really not right. What you're doing is not right. You should stop this. And we feel bad. And for some people, this is actually just the instruction. You feel bad, do something about it. Don't just dwell in it. Do something about it. And what do people do? They think, okay, let's get rid of it. Let's take a pill. And then just dull ourselves. So that's actually what the pill does. It just stops the voice. It just stops the guilt coming from within. But it does not solve the problem, unfortunately. So the guru, he will solve the problem. He will actually tell you the needful to do in order to rectify the lifestyle, because it's the lifestyle that's the problem above anything else. So that will not come in solution as a pill, or that has to come, that has to be solved by proper instructions. You please change this and this and that in your life. Then you will see, then you will feel better. Because when you act in accordance with God in the heart, with your consciousness, then He will be pleased. And when He is pleased, then you will automatically feel pleased. So like this, the Guru will give practical instructions, which actually you can situate ourselves properly. So this is actually the real solution. The solution is not in the pill. It is not in making more kroners, like achieving a better social position. It is not there. It's not in the expanded material situation, the improved material situation. It will not be found there. It has to come through spiritual knowledge, which will properly direct us, direct in accordance with the will of the Lord, with His desire. So, actually, it is not, nobody is at fault, you can say, that the people of the day, we're not condemning anyone. You know, we're not out to condemn people that they are doing wrong and like with this, because basically the people themselves, they are being misled. This whole, you can say, routine of buying, yeah, is production and consumption and enjoying. This is something which is most common, and they're just being influenced. It's simply we are being misled in that sense. And we are being misled to think that we can get happiness from a place where the happiness is not to be found. And I will now cite one more verse from Bhagavad Gita. Please excuse me, I take a lot of verses, but it is meant that when we give class, when we speak something about Krishna consciousness, we have to back it up by scriptural authority. Otherwise, it is not valid. It has not a substance. So we'll try to look at one more verse which Krishna speaks in relevance to this point. And he says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So this we don't fully grasp. And because people don't grasp this, then there's no big run of people trying to change their lives. If we knew something was wrong with the present deal we have, then we would do something with it. But people don't, we don't understand that this is actually a place of misery. So when we do see this, when actually we have some understanding that we cannot find happiness going on materially, it is not found in material enjoyment, then actually we are qualified to approach a guru. And when we come to this point, then we can take the benefit of spiritual knowledge. So I would like to sum up what I've said with a request to all of you to please take advantage. Everybody can take advantage of a Shiksha Guru. A Shiksha Guru, one who knows, has realized something about spiritual life. Such a person can be approached, he can be asked, one can inquire from him, and one can get some good instructions which will be valuable in one's life. So, I would request you to please, if you see someone who you're inspired by, that personal example, please take advantage of that person by asking, what should I do in my life? And that's why the meaning we can have a guru, and it will be valuable in our lives. So I'd like to thank you very much. I'm